But turn with me, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Probably thinking to yourself, we've had so much Christmas, why aren't you somewhere else like in Luke, where Christmas is in the scriptures? And we'll get there, I promise. We're going to touch on it today as we look at the scriptures. But I want to start off with a story. We like stories, right? Most, if not all of you know, that before I decided that I wanted to go to the ministry, I was studying to be a pilot. Many of you know that, right? Some of you don't. Doesn't matter, really. But for some odd reason, interesting things always seem to happen in the air, don't they, Roger? Interesting things happen a lot in the air. And that's why, as a pilot, you learn all kinds of emergency procedures, and you all learn all kinds of things. Well, what if this goes wrong? What if this goes wrong? What if this goes wrong? So much more than when you're driving around the road, down the road, right? Because if something happens wrong on the road, what do? You just pull over, and you turn off the car, and you call somebody, right? We don't always have that option. That's not always the best thing to do. You can't just pull over, so to speak, right? So my first solo was interesting. My instructor switched. I was at a school, and my instructor switched that day. And my former instructor wasn't going to solo me for another couple of weeks. And my new instructor said, yeah, you're good. Let's go solo. And at that time, the traffic around the airport was, there's none. But as soon as I got up in the air, all kinds of airplanes came in. And so for somebody with about 15, 20 hours, that's a little nerve-wracking. Well, let me tell you about my first solo cross-country. I had flown from Ottumwa, Iowa to somewhere around Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And then I was to fly from Sioux Falls, I think, over to Cedar Rapids, because I had to go to a towered airport and then back home to Ottumwa. And so as I was flying from Ottumwa to South Dakota, I noticed some things were a little weird. You know, when I looked at my compass and I was following the heading on my compass, and I was looking at my map and looking at the ground, it wasn't quite where I was supposed to be. You know, I was flying, they call visual flight rules, and so you look down and you say, yep, that place is this place on the map, and you keep going. I was ending up a little off, and I, being a young guy, I didn't think much more about it. I'm just like, yeah, I can be off a little bit, it's okay. I got to South Dakota, I took off, and I was going to Cedar Rapids. And in the airplane, how many of you get bored on a long trip? Your mind wanders and you just get bored. Okay, I get bored. I could never be a trucker. I could never drive a truck. It would fry me. But what happens is, we were able to, I would listen to AM radio on the NDB, and through the NDB, and so I would listen to radio and I would get lost in thought while I was flying. And I'm supposed to be paying attention to where I am. But I would, you know, I would listen, I'd look around, and I'd look at my heading on the compass, and it was fine. But there's a problem sometimes with gyro-controlled compasses. Right, Roger? Every once in a while, what happens to them? It's called precession. They drift. This one was precessing. precessing. It's been a while since I've flown. It was precessing about 5 degrees in about a degree a minute. I mean, it was like this. It was going like this. And I thought, oh, no, I had better figure out where I am. That's what happens when you take a direction for things which aren't stable. You just don't end up where you think you're going to be. And I ended up, instead of flying a straight line from point A to point B, I kind of flew a curved line from point A to point B when I figured out finally where I was. But that kind of stuff happens. It happens in our life, right? We think we have something stable that we need to move forward to, and something changes, right? Or maybe we get into something and we think we need to change in order to get to where we need to go. But Paul is going to talk to us today about where we are now. It's a little bit similar to what we talked about last week, but we're not going to talk about marriage this time. We're going to talk about where we are in our current context. And so if you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're going to start reading in verse 17. And it says this, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised? Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. Each one should remain in the condition in which he was called. Were you a bondservant when called? Do not be concerned about it. But if you can gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For he who is called in the Lord as a bondservant, is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who is a free when he is called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So, brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God." And so today, let's talk a little bit about calling. How many of you like this subject of calling? I was called to this or I was called to that. And how many of you look at this with a little bit of intrepidation, like, I don't know what I'm necessarily called to. Maybe you have a little less direction in your life than you'd like. Many of you have been there. I remember as a college student in junior college, I didn't exactly, even though I thought I wanted to be a pilot, I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I just thought being a pilot would pay the bills better than anything else, right? Or it seemed like it would be fun at least, okay? Anybody ever felt that way? A little directionless? A little of the idea that I don't know what I'm called to do? Paul is actually dealing with this idea of what it means to be called. Okay? How many of you have heard of this word in the Greek? You've heard us talk about it maybe. It comes from the word koleo, call. Koleo kind of sounds very similar, don't you think? Did you know that the word church is also derived from the same root? Ekklesia also has koleo in it. Interesting thing. You know the church, the word ekklesia means, or the church? Ones who are called out. An assembly of those who are called out into something else. So, each one of us today has a certain calling on our lives. Would you like to know what that is? Yes, please tell me. I want to know if I should go be a teacher. I want to know if I should go into ministry, or I want to know if I should go drive a truck, or I want to know if I should go fly a plane, whatever it happens to be. That's what you're going to tell me today, right, Pastor? No. No. That's not what calling is about at all. So let's kind of look at this here. It says, "Only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him." All right. Okay, so basically Paul is saying here, lead the life. Okay, where you find yourself, live that life. So each one of us finds ourselves in a different context, right? Yeah. Okay. And last week we learned that it's not necessarily more spiritual to speak particularly of marriage, whether it's to be single or married. He says live in your context. Again, he's saying live in your context. Where you're at, God has you there for a reason. Where you're at, you can make an influence with the people that you're around. He says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. Paul goes on to say, was anyone at the time of his call already circumcised. Let him not seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Was anyone at the time of his call uncircumcised? Let him not seek circumcision. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but keeping the commandments of God. So let's kind of think back into the culture a little bit. Corinth was a city that had a certain life to it. Right? Very, very similar to, we might even say, Minneapolis or New York or Las Vegas or wherever you happen to think about what being in the city, being in a competitive environment is like. Super competitive in Corinth. So much so that that attitude was bleeding into the church. That worldly attitude of me first had taken a role, had taken a hold of that church, and so that there was division in the church because everybody was shouting, me, 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 I want to be the best, I want to be the most spiritual. People were divorcing their spouses because they thought it was more spiritual to be single. People were doing all kinds of weird things, trying to be as spiritual as possible. Paul says, wherever you're at, that is where you need to live. You find yourself in a certain context. You need to exercise influence in your context. And he uses these terms. He says, circumcision and uncircumcision. We know what that's about. Okay? So he says to those who are already circumcised, if you're already circumcised, don't seek to remove the marks of circumcision. You might think, why is that necessary? Well, things were a little bit different back in that day, and they had, especially in Greek culture, they had bathhouses that all the men went to one bathhouse, and you know, it's just like any other gym. I hate gyms. I hate going to the gym because it's not fun to go into the guys' area. Anyway, let's just leave that alone. But the only reason I say that is because it applies right here, because it says don't seek to remove the marks of circumcision. Basically, so don't try to get any plastic surgery reversal. Don't worry about that. He says if you find yourself in an uncircumcised condition, don't worry about the surgery because circumcision actually doesn't mean anything. Wait a minute, that's Paul. He's a, what nationality was he again? He was a Jew. Now for Paul to say uncircumcision doesn't mean anything, that's a huge theological step, isn't it? You see, circumcision was the sign of the Abrahamic covenant. Paul says, doesn't matter. Why? Why would Paul say circumcision doesn't matter? Not under the law anymore, are we? Because Jesus fulfilled the law. Jesus changed things. When Jesus came on the scene, when Jesus lived and died and rose again, he changed everything. No longer do we need an access to God through a law. We have access to God through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? All right, come on. We're awfully quiet this morning.
You know this is Minnesota.
I know it's Minnesota. I've been studying Minnesota culture for 3 years now. I know a little bit. Now where was I? See, I'm even becoming Minnesota. No, that's not right. It's a joke. Yes, it's a joke. Or as Rick Wesp told me one day, it's a joke. It's a joke, okay? Anyway, wow, now I'm way off. Thank you, access. Thank you for that word, access. Each one of us has access to Jesus, access to God right now. And we don't have to follow any law to get there. We just have to know Jesus as our Savior. We have to have the Holy Spirit in us. Okay? Every person who has trusted Christ as his Savior has access to God. The Bible says we can come boldly to the throne of grace because of Jesus. Because Jesus, when he died, the veil was rent in two. There was no more separation between us and God. We have access right now. Therefore, we don't need any signs of any covenant to have access to God. So literally, because of Jesus, circumcision no longer matters. He says, don't worry about trying to change just to be spiritual. It's like this. If I thought that having a smaller nose would help me spiritually, then I would go get some sort of change done, right? That's kind of the idea here. That would be kind of in our vernacular. I need to change something in order to make myself more spiritual, right? That's really what they were doing. You're trying to change something physical to make a spiritual difference. Excuse me. He says, if you're circumcision, don't worry about it. He said, what is it that matters here? He says, for neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision, but what? Anybody have your Bibles open? But what is important? Is circumcision important? No. But it's keeping God's commandments. Oh, okay. What commandments are we supposed to be keeping now? Ten Commandments? The law of love? What did Jesus say? Fulfills love? Thank you. And this fulfills what? The law. All the law. Okay. He says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. That's what Jesus said. And he said that this fulfills all the law and the prophets. So what's important? Showing the love of Christ to people. Living a life called out so much so that you can go into your world where you live and make a difference because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. Because you are called out from that. Circumcision doesn't matter. He says, or each one should remain in the condition which he was called. Were you a bondservant when you called? Don't be concerned about it. But if you gain your freedom, avail yourself of the opportunity. For who is called in the Lord is a bondservant, is a freedman of the Lord. Likewise, he who is free when called is a bondservant of Christ. You were bought with a price. Do not become bondservants of men. So brothers, in whatever condition each was called, let him remain with God. So he talks about the physical, and then he talks about what? He talks about our identities. Okay? Are you a bondservant? Are you a slave? Don't worry about it. I mean, we don't have this in our society right here in Minneapolis so much, right? You may feel like you're a slave, but that's not the case. We're pretty free here, right? So how do we apply this? When he says, if you find yourself working at McDonald's, if you find yourself working for the governor, if you find yourself wherever, what does he say? He says, don't worry about it, doesn't he? Don't worry about it. We don't have to go changing jobs just to be more spiritual. We can make an influence where we are by doing what God has called us to do where we are. We don't have to make those great big huge changes. Okay? He doesn't say what? He doesn't say stop growing. He doesn't say don't take advantage of those opportunities that you have. He just says, use the context in which you find yourself in today so that you can talk to people about Jesus, so you can influence others for the cause of Christ. That's what he's saying. He says, if you're a bondman, and you, he says, don't worry about it, but if you have your, if you have the ability, avail yourself of the opportunity. So what does that mean? I'm supposed to stay stuck where I find myself in life, right? If I have this job, then I should never change it. Is that what he's saying? No. If you get an opportunity to move up and you have more opportunity there, it's okay. You can change. If you have the opportunity to take classes, he's not saying stay at your education level. No. If you have that opportunity, go ahead. But wherever you find yourself, there you should live. Wherever, whatever context you find yourself in, you should strive to be holy, set apart. Because we're worried about what God wants from us, and we're worried about those people we find ourselves with. It's okay to change jobs. It's okay to move. It's okay to work and have life goals. But he says you don't have to. You don't have to have education. You don't have to have a better job to be spiritual. You don't have to. You don't have to be a rocket scientist just to change things. You can be right where you are with your level of education and the Holy Spirit, and you can change the world around where you live. You can exercise that influence that God wants you to exercise. We don't want to miss out on opportunities that God gives us in the here and the now because we're so worried about something future. Our calling is not measured in the future. Our calling is what we do in the here and the now. That kind of creates a challenge, doesn't it? It kind of creates an urgency, doesn't it? I am supposed to live as Christ's ambassador in my context. What does that mean for me? How do I exercise my Christian influence upon the world around me? I love God supremely, and I love my neighbors as myself. I mean, this really plays a huge part into how we even view this Christmas season coming up, doesn't it? Where do you find yourself? What problems do you foresee happening? Those things can be used for the glory of God in your context. Relationship issues that you may have with family that you're going to see in a couple of weeks, excuse me, for Christmas. We can exercise influence there. We can show what Jesus has done for us in the way that we serve and care for people. By the way that we talk, we can talk about what Jesus has done for us, how Jesus has changed us. By the way that we steer our conversation, we have a huge opportunity right here before us in our own lives, in our very own context, in the here and now. That means that tomorrow, when I go to work, when you go to work, that I have an opportunity to live as I was called, to live as God has called me to follow him, to love my neighbor as myself, to live a holy life that's called out, that speaks into the culture rather than the culture speaking into the church. Sometimes we're afraid of that, and we shouldn't be. Because if you're a Christian here, people know you're a Christian, you know what they expect you to act like? A Christian. People know that you're a Christian, they expect Jesus things to come out of your mouth. They just do. And we have opportunities to do that. Opportunities to exercise that influence. So, we get to be the light where we are. We get to work on sharing the love of Jesus in the context we find ourselves in. Shall we pray? Dear Jesus, we have a lot of things to think about. In the context that we're in, the people that we work with, Lord, help us to avail ourselves of the opportunities that we have to exercise influence, whether it's at work, at home, at Christmas time, when we're with family. Help us to continue to look for you. Help change us to be as you want us to be. Lord, we know that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. Lord, help us to change and have those values in our lives so that when people see us, they see you. Help us to not be timid in the way that we serve or the way that we love, but help us to go out and to be inspired to follow you. And Lord, I pray that as we consider your church and the way that we love each other, help us to remember those who are persecuted. God, challenge us today. In Jesus' name, amen.